I'm a shot in the dark, wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. Oh, goodness. I'll tell you what, frog in the throat these days here. All right, so episode 251. All right, so a little bit of an early morning episode. Running behind this morning, man. Just like had good sleep over the weekend, but managed to get insomnia again. Yeah, just a little nonlinear today. It's like it's early. But you know what? I was on my way in and the traffic was beautiful because it was so early, but Denver's kind of scary when the traffic's flying pretty good in the morning because people drive really, really fast. And, I was just kind of frustrated with that this morning. And then I saw a guy like slam, you know, pulling off on the side of the road and everyone's trying to not hit him and stuff. And I thought there was a wreck. And then I looked and the guy had like a huge blowout, like on his, tire. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? I didn't have a blowout on the way to work today. I didn't have to like end up on the side of the road jacking up some big truck and trying to put a tire on. So I'm not going to gripe. Oh, all right. Weekend recap, Monday show, Thanksgiving week. Man, so I had a kind of a packed weekend in some ways. Had two different birthday parties. So Friday night, so I just completely ran out of time on Friday and didn't get to do a show. And I apologize. I am the staff of Totally Legit Coffee Bar at the moment. Yeah, I lost the Sarah, the quitter, Stacy quit. Shout out to Sarah, the quitter, Stacy. My other two employees are like gone on like academic break. They went home for Thanksgiving already. So I get to work open to close 3 days in a row. Worked open to close Friday. And, yeah, so I am the staff at the moment. So it's kind of throwing a wrench in my scheduling plans here. And, yeah, so, this weekend, yeah, so on Friday, man, I'm telling you what, I could not get my throat clear this morning. On Friday, I had a birthday party to go to, and it was the 25th birthday of the lovely and talented and amazing Elizabeth Pavelic. So shout out, big fat happy birthday shout out to Elizabeth Pavelic. Eli, as we lovingly call her, or as I call her, Lizzie, used to work for me at the coffee house here at the Institute. And it was a pretty special birthday for Elizabeth because her boyfriend is now her fiance. So she got engaged on her 25th birthday. So well done, Matt. So shout out and big fat congratulations and birthday shout outs to, Matt and Elizabeth. And so that was kind of fun. I got to go over to, the guy house. You know, there's a bunch of guys that, I know from around here that and Matt's one of their roommates. And, and I'd never been over to their house. I knew that they lived, kind of in this neighborhood near a church that I go to sometimes. And, you know, I'd see them at this one barbecue joint, and I knew they lived close by, but I'd never been by. Nice house. I was kind of like, you know, these guys put this party on. It's a bunch of guys living in a house. I mean, the house was really clean. Bathroom was super clean. I was kind of mad. I was like, you know, you're kind of raising the bar for the rest of us here. Okay. I mean, you know, we're guys. Okay. So come on. You gotta keep the bro code here. You can't be like raising the bar too high. So that was spectacular. It is so great. People have kind of heard about, through the grapevine, kind of what's going on with this project I'm working on with Flint in Flint, Michigan. And, just God's moving so beautifully there. And so it's funny. People are coming up to me like, so dude, I heard that you some crazy stuff going on up in Michigan or so. And I'm like, yeah, totally. You know, it's like, it's just interesting. And you know, just telling people about, you know, I think that people want, I was talking to Father James Mangan yesterday from Flint. Shout out to Father James. You know, big fat Ace Hotel. Shout outs to Father James. Such an inside joke. I was talking to Father James and I was like, people are so struck when I start telling them, hey, the kind of these stories of all this beautiful providence and kind of what's going on and what the church is doing and how people are cooperating with the church and all these cool things that we're doing and all these ideas we're pulling the trigger on in this project up in Michigan. And I think people just want to be a part of something so much. They want to be a part of something, bigger than themselves. But you know, that's one of the segments I'm going to do today is, talk a little bit about our relationship to the things bigger than us. So I'm just going to kind of withhold that insight for a second. I was about to go on a tear and I realized that I was about to steal one of my sections. Hence the early morning show. And, that was Friday night. On Saturday, after completely and totally unashamedly sleeping in absolutely as late as I possibly could, I think I slept, I went to bed kind of late, you know, like 12:30 or 1 o'clock or something. I slept till like 10 or 11 o'clock. I mean, I like put in, like I'd had insomnia 3 nights last week and I was just relaxed and in a good mood, didn't have to get up for work, didn't have a sudden alarm, and I slept like a machine. So one of the few good things about being single is you can sleep in on the weekends. There's a trade-off. It's a trade-off, you know. You don't get those other, there's a lot of joys of the married life and family and all that. One of them is not being able to sleep in on the weekends. So, I exercised my singularity and, slept in this weekend. And, I had to take a friend to a doctor's appointment. And so it's funny. There's this friend I take to his doctor's appointment and every once in a while. And I have to kill time for an hour whenever I go. So it's funny. It's the only time that I ever go to, there's a Christian coffee house really near. Now it's funny. You would think, you have an apostolate that builds coffee houses that are places of discipleship and evangelization through relationship over time. How can you not go to Christian coffee houses? Right, because most of them don't do that. Most of them are pretty bad. And the coffee is usually really, really bad. And so I went to this Christian coffee house, it's pretty second wave, you know, by what I mean is like there's a big drinks and tons of sizes and, you know, kind of that Starbucks template for the way that they do things. But I got a latte instead of getting, brew coffee like I normally do. And, it was surprisingly pretty good. And I asked them about, you know, how many shots do you do? And it's like, they've kind of split the difference and become kind of 2.5 wave. I'm going to get really coffee geeky here. I'm sorry. Cause you know, there's like, you know, how many shots go in each drink and all that and stuff. So they were kind of, I could kind of tell, oh, someone consciously is making the shift towards kind of the more modern coffee thing. And then when my latte came, someone has learned to pour some latte art. So I'm like, okay, well done. So, it's funny. It's like, it was a coffee house. This little place is a coffee house that I would be very, very, I would have been very comfortable in and thought it was like the best shop in the world, like in the 90s. I mean, it would have been my favorite place on earth in the 90s. Or maybe even the early 2000s. And yeah, so it was kind of fun just kind of sitting there, and it's not very often that I'm kind of overhearing and kind of deep in that evangelical culture anymore, being a Catholic now. It was interesting to see kind of how to say it, how people carry themselves and how they speak and kind of their presuppositions you can overhear. Cause you overhear conversations when you're in coffee houses. You can't help it. And it's funny. I was kind of like, I didn't get any reading done, that partially cause I ended up on the phone with Kevin Clay, but, I didn't get any reading done or any work done, but I just kind of spent a long time just like eating this sandwich I bought and drinking this latte and just listening to people's, kind of overhearing everyone's conversations around me and kind of like getting a feel for, And it was interesting. I get a feel for kind of how some of the presuppositions and how some of the kind of the worldview and kind of has changed since I was in that evangelical world. So it's pretty interesting. I think it's something I want to kind of explore a little further at some point. But, yeah, so I hung out there, and then, and I'm going to talk about this in the second segment some, because this was something that warrants more discussion. So then I got done with this, all this running errands and stuff, and I took Perry West, and we went over to another birthday party on Saturday night, and it's Adam Beach. Adam Beach turned 30, so big, fat, huge birthday shout out to Adam Beach. Adam, if you haven't heard, if you don't know who I'm talking about, go scroll back, go to the Podbean, look at the podcast, and scroll back and find, I have to figure out which episode it is. There's an episode where Adam Beach talks about, I gave him like a two full segments almost to tell the story of almost getting shot by Wendell Berry. He's just one of my more intelligent, amazing, soulful friends, him and his wife Brett, and they just cook. They make me look like I can't cook. I mean, they're just machines. And, so we went over to their house and they were having like a beer pairing with all these different appetizers and stuff. And it was just absolutely incredible. I want to talk a little bit about that when I get back, because there's a, I just want to talk about a moment that is, what I'm striving to produce in this world. All right, let's go to the break. You're listening to The Counter Position. I'm your host, Andrew Whaley. See you on the other side.
Let my sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. See only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. Slurp. I forgot to get that last sip in before I started the break, started the segment. Get that, fight that frog in my throat back. I don't know what the deal is. I feel fine. I don't have like a sore throat or anything, but I'm just like, got something going on here. So as I was saying before the end of the break, me and Perry West went over to, Adam Beach's house for his 30th birthday. And once again, big fat birthday shout outs to Adam Beach. Adam is such an amazing human being. I love this guy so much. He is one of the more cultured, intelligent people, I know. He's such an interesting dude. He studies here at the Augustine Institute, studying Catholic theology. He is, at current, I guess you would call him an evangelical, maybe kind of a charismatic. And his dad pastors, a church here in town, and he's in the preaching rotation in that church. And, so he kind of straddles both worlds, and he's just one of the more intelligent, mindful human beings I've ever met. And he loves all the right stuff. He's got the same book addiction that I have. And I just look at his shelves and I'm just like, I'm so jealous. Not so much jealous as just, I see his books and I'm just like, well, God, no wonder we're friends. And it's like, you know, and that, oh man, and they just made these huge, beautiful built-in shelves in this new house I got. He's built them himself, looks like. And it just has a wall of books. And there's just, so there's the first thing I want to talk about for my event, going to see Adam Beach in his 30th birthday, was there's nothing like a wall of books. I mean, now there could be the wall of the wrong books, even a wall of bad books, a wall of horrible books. But man, a wall of books is a wall of books. And that's a pretty beautiful thing regardless. And so we come in, we got there kind of late, stopped and got some wine. And they were, cause I can only drink like a little bit of beer. I end up getting arthritis if I drink beer too much. And, Perry is gluten free, so he couldn't have beer at all. And, So we stopped and got some wine, went over there, and just walked in. And it's just like, I mean, I just love walking into a room full of people that are all very different from different perspectives and different backgrounds, but they're all kind of intelligent, mindful, soulful people. And just eating and drinking and talking. Just so the night rolled on, just like lots of eating and drinking. And Adam did this taco feast with these stations with a different meat and a different, like, what you should put on this taco, toppings and stuff around that. And you just kind of load it up. And I always say, when I say, like, about him, about Adam and Britt, or I say this about Max and Mary Millington, and I say it about a lot of people, that I'm like, they make me look like I can't cook. And friends of mine that are, I'm kind of famous for being able to cook well or whatever, and I'm like, they're like, oh, that's not true. And I'm like, no, it really is. I mean, they're just that much. People say, oh, you should open a restaurant. I'm like, no, A, that's a lot more work than you understand. And B, no, I shouldn't. Adam and Britt should probably open a restaurant. It's like, it's really good. Max and Mary should open a restaurant too. I mean, it's just amazing. And so we had some of the, you know, he did a rib with kind of a mole barbecue. So it's kind of like American style ribs, but like with a mole twist, and a straightforward carne asada. Some really, really good, carnitas with kind of an apple thing in it. Oh, it was so good. But the star of the night, I think rib was the best one, and it had like slaw you put on it. But the, he did a seared scallop taco with an orange sugar kind of reduction, kind of a little, just put like a little part of a spoon on it, and brown butter with some microgreens and stuff. And I mean, oh my goodness. I never thought that what was missing in my life was a seared scallop taco, but I think it might have been. So we just hung out all night, and if there's a place in this world, you know, that defines me besides maybe, working behind a coffee bar, it would be, just sitting at a table with a glass of wine in front of me, some good food to be eating, and just a bunch of people having that wonder-driven conversation that can go from, I mean, so we were looking at, there's like this ancient style of icon that these people in Ukraine are reviving that he has on the wall. And then this other modern, crazy, like iconography, like kind of semi-icon kind of painter guy like that's doing this really weird modern style of like these illustrations and stuff. And he's got some of those on the wall. And we're just talking, and everyone's just hanging out and cooking and eating and having conversations about art and music and theology, and just going all over the place, just talking about everything. And so the lovely and talented Zach Candler, our favorite space plumber, and his lovely wife Ashley and their kids came over, and then I got to do something. So I hung out with them for a while. Andrew Beach was there, Adam's little brother that I'm friends with, who's another amazing human being. And, you know, that whole family, Alicia, his little sister, they're just like these intelligent, amazing people. And they're all into film and philosophy and theology, and just, I just love being around people like that. Conversation with people like that just feeds my soul. It just makes me want to be a better human being. It helps me be a better human being. And so then I got to do something else that I love doing. And it's like literally one of the things I'm built in this world to do, is to introduce people into a scene. And so my good friend, Jim Laurent Ducky, who's my roommate now, he was at a wedding, and we invited him to come over. Right now, he knew several of the people in the crowd. He knew Zach, he knew Andrew, he knew me and Perry, obviously, and a couple others, but he'd never met Adam. I've been wanting him to meet Adam. And I just love when it's kind of like, you know, when you turn someone on to your favorite record, or you're like, oh, you've never read these poems. Oh, you got to read this Rilke book, or you've never seen this movie. Oh, sit down. Let me get you a glass of wine. Here, we're going to watch this Terrence Malick film. It's so good, you know. I feel like that when I, even more so, when I introduce people to someone else and I'm like, hey, look at this. Hey, oh, you don't know this amazing human being? You don't? Oh, here, let me introduce you. You know, and let me introduce you to this context. Let me introduce you to what happens when these people are in the same room. And it's just, even as a guest, I just love the fostering of hospitality, you know? And so after many wonder driven conversations and beautiful ideas being bandied about and much good beer, wine, and food being consumed, I did something else that I love to do. So I brought Perry with me, and Perry didn't know Adam either. He knew Andrew and Zach, and so I introduced Perry into this scene too. I forgot. I guess I could have talked about that whole thing with Perry. So I brought Perry over with me, and so I had him bring his guitar and some copies of his new record, which this is kind of the unofficial. I have to do a plug almost every. So if you wonder what this theme music is that I have. That's a song called Kooks and Kings by Perry West. And the record that's on just came out. It's called A Half Glass Fool. So go, get a listen out. You go to Spotify. Look up Perry West, Half Glass Fool. Get a listen to it. Support him. Buy a copy of it. The physical copy is beautiful. And you get the lyric sheet in it, and it's just really great. So go to perrywestmusic.com. You could also buy it on iTunes too. If you want to buy a digital version, it's on iTunes. It's on Spotify, but, Perry West. So I had Perry bring his guitar, and Perry was just in rare form. I mean, he was just so intense, and he's played some songs. And Adam was all, you know, all worked up from a big day of conversation and eating and drinking. He was just loving this music and, Perry, we could go into just some beautiful little turn of phrase or one of these amazing lines that Perry has in so many of them in his songs. And Adam was going, come on, come on. Like we were at a Pentecostal church and Perry was preaching, man. He's like, he was just like smacking the table. Come on. And I don't know how to tell you, but that just did my heart good. Oh, watching Adam watching someone like Perry do something he's so amazing at, just so beautiful, just being who he is and just doing exactly what God built him to do and introducing him to Adam, who's just like right there in the heart of what he's supposed to do, which is hospitality, conversation, bringing people together, ideas and all this, and watching those two spark off of each other and just bring joy to each other. I was just like, absolutely beautiful. So I didn't intend to do an entire segment talking about a party I went to this weekend, but, that was the highlight of my weekend. That was definitely the highlight of the weekend. Had divine liturgy over at Holy Protection. I'm not like switching rites or anything, but all evidence points to me, becoming increasingly Byzantine. I guess 4 weeks in a row, the divine liturgy, maybe 3 weeks in a row. I'm getting a feel for it. I'm starting to feel at home in this little small church. It's such a, I've always missed being in a small church ever since, Family Life Church way, 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 way back in the day, a little storefront church / cult that I was in. There's something about a really small, tight-knit church where everyone knows each other, and it's like family, and you get on each other's nerves, and you love each other, you take care of each other, and you're in each other's lives, and it's messy and beautiful, and that's absolutely the way it should be. All right, let's head off to the break. When we get back, I've got more up my sleeve. You're listening to The Counter Position. I'm your host, Andrew Whaley.
Then how we crave a hanging in its dark.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
People singing, please don't sting, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right. Well, enough talk about parties and conversations and whatnot. Though I will say, I really regrettably, missed out, and I should have just gone given how much trouble I had getting to sleep. But Jim Laurent asked me to go, invited me last night, and some of the peeps from CL, from Communion of Liberation, were going over to see the movie Arrival. And man, what a great combination that would have been. But I would have wanted to stay out and talk late with these guys about this. That movie, I'm going to go back and see it again. If you haven't seen Arrival, don't listen to my show where I talk about it and do spoilers. Just go see it raw. But that's it. And I think it's not, you know, car chases and lasers and stuff, but the CGI is incredible, and it's probably worth seeing on the big screen. I don't see a lot of films on the big screen anymore, but that's probably worth going to see. So, yeah, so they went and saw Arrival last night. I didn't go. I really, really, really wanted to go. Oh man, yesterday I was like, I don't know what's been going on here lately. I've been getting such bad sinus headaches here lately. So after liturgy, we went over and got a menudo, which I'm not even going to, I know you're thinking he's going to tell a story about how there's things in this world that he can't live without now that he used to be scared of. I'm not going to do that. So we went and got a menudo and, Naughty Bit Tacos from La Calle on Alameda and Tejon. Man, if you are in Denver, Colorado, you want to taste some full on, real, authentic, straight up ghetto Mexican, go to La Calle, the street, over on Tejon and Alameda. Man, so good. And if you like menudo, they have spectacular menudo, which I'm a fan. It took me a while, but I'm a fan now. So I just got this horrible sinus headache, and I thought maybe a big bowl of steamy, spicy soup would work, and it kind of helped for a second, but I finally found some medicine in my bag I had in my car, and I took it, and it just wasn't working, and I tried to have a conversation with Father James Mangan, but he was like, are you okay? Is there something that you seem like you're, and I was worried about me. And I'm like, no, I'm in pain right now. I was having such a bad sinus headache. So I went over to the gym, and my intention was to kind of sit in the hot tub, and cause I get tension in my neck, and there's a connection between that muscle in your neck and this bone that like lets air in and out of your sinuses and stuff. So I wanted to get in the hot tub and loosen up and get in the steam room and stuff. I got over to the gym and the hot tub was closed down for maintenance. So, you know what? There's something I want to talk about. So I ended up just getting into there's a hot steam room and then there's a dry sauna. I always use a steam room. Maybe it's because I'm from Southern Missouri. It's pretty funny. If you're sitting in a steam room and and there's just all the steam and you look at the wall and it's like, okay, it's 110 degrees and it's hot enough that there's just water dripping off you and there's steam in the air. I'm like, yeah, this is nothing. I played baseball in this in Southern Missouri in the summertime. This is a late July afternoon when I was 11 right here. It's like, so I just kind of went back. I did this hot steam room and man, that just clears my sinuses out so well. So I did the, you know, cold shower steam and I couldn't get a lane. I was really wanting to swim and I couldn't get a lane. Cause I gotten the pain to stop and then I kind of got some energy and I wanted to swim, but I was sitting in the steam room and this old guy, so there's an old white guy and an old black guy sitting there and they start talking and the old white guy, he was talking to him about, you know, he had a shirt on that said New York City or something. He's like, are you from New York? Well, my family's from New York, you know, and they run this festival or whatever. And he goes, oh, so they, you know, they take care of you or something. And they start talking about, like, I couldn't hear some of their conversation, but, you know, I was a few feet away, but it's kind of noisy with the steam in there. And, we got on this conversation. Anyway, I can't even remember what they were talking about. I remember what he and I ended up talking about later, but he just said, well, you know, black folks, and you can see everyone in the room. There's like four people in the room and this older white guy he was talking to just kind of tensed up because this old black man just went, well, I mean, it's kind of like that in our family, but black people are, and he just very nonchalantly started talking about the difference in kind of the average black culture and the way that they handle hospitality and what they mean when they say, make yourself at home. And you, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I will talk about hospitality a little bit, what we talked, what he and I talked about, but it was just so interesting that the place just kind of like got the whole mood of the place. It wasn't weird that there were people of different races in this steam room, but the minute the old black guy says, you know, black folks, we, and everybody tensed up and just like, and the conversation just was not organic. And so I ended up getting up, going and taking a cold shower and then coming back because I was trying to, that's what I do. And, I came back in and a couple of those guys had left, the old white guy left and I came in. There was just one young kid and this older black gentleman, right? And I sat down next to him and I just looked at him and I said, I just really appreciate the ease with which you would just bring up the difference in culture and just use a phrase like black folks and just talk about your experience. I think that we miss so much in this world. And he goes, yeah, I mean, they got the hell out of here, didn't they? It's just like, I'm like, well, they're not, I said, let me explain to you. I mean, it's not that they're racist. It's not, there's not, I mean, cause the guy, the older white guy that he was talking to, he said, yeah, my girlfriend's black. So I mean, he's dating a black woman. It's like he's not a racist, but he's still just very uncomfortable with someone just talking about the difference in cultures, right? And I told him, so when they were talking about, this is kind of interesting. I'll talk about this. We were talking about hospitality, which obviously they didn't use that word, but they were talking about, when you go to someone's house and they say the phrase, I'll make yourself at home. What do they really mean? Do they mean that? And in some places, they go, oh, make yourself at home, but they, you know, take your shoes off or keep your shoes on or, you know, well, we don't go in that room or just, and I was in, you know, in the different cultures and how they kind of handle what they mean when they say, okay, make yourself at home. That's what they were talking about and the way families, how at ease you can be. And I told him, I said, you know, tell me if you think this is wrong, but I'm from near the South. I'm not from the South per se, but I'm from a place where I've experienced a lot of Southern culture and my family's from the South. Or at least, yeah, my mom's family is from the South. Just barely over the line, but in the South. And I said to him, I said, you know, it seems to me that when you look at that kind of hospitality, you look at the food, you look at all that, it's been my experience that black culture in a lot of ways is Southern culture in a different place. So if you want to experience Southern culture, but you're like in Chicago or New York, that's what you get when you're hanging out with a black family. And he said, no, I think that's right. Because he's lived in Louisiana. He's lived in places. I said, cause I was raised by people who were kind of from the South. And if they say, make yourself at home, they mean it. Take your shoes off. I mean, the greatest compliment you can pay someone from that culture would be to like fall asleep on their couch watching TV or something. That they really do mean make yourself at home. And like the family I grew up in, I mean, they in the culture that I was around in that part of the world, I mean, just if you hold still, they'll feed you. People come over and you just start making food for people. You start feeding them. You make sure they need something to drink. You just start feeding them. And you want them, if someone just drops by and they're going to drop something off, but the person they're dropping it off to isn't there, so they don't even know a soul and you invite them in. If you can manage to feed them, give them something to drink, talk them into staying for a second and they fall asleep on the couch or something. That is like the greatest win in the world. Like you have made someone at ease and comfortable and full. It's just like, you know, and we had this beautiful conversation about how, here's funny. It's like, I grew up in a town of just 4,500 people. Almost everybody was white. And we had experienced a lot of the same culture. So we were talking about how there's so much to be gained by just dropping the fear and just talking to each other and even talking about our experience in race and stuff. And so that the other isn't just other, you know? Anyway, I'm a big fan of people that are very different. Just having the trust and the openness to ask each other questions and talk about their experience of this world and even the racial components of that experience and even the questions about misunderstanding of other people's racial experience and stuff. I'm a big fan of that. And I got to do some of that sitting in the sauna. So I'm glad so it worked out that the hot tub was down because I got to have a good conversation with this guy. And he gave me a good solid fist bump and thanked me for saying that, you know, and we, you know, had a nice conversation. It was just beautiful. So there you go. So find someone not like you and talk to them about things that you're scared to talk about. That's the moral of that story. I want to talk about, I'm going to punt on some of the more heady stuff I had teed up. It's a little early. So I've got some ideas about nature and liturgy and contingency and stuff, but I'm going to hold that for another show. When we get back, I want to explore some more of these concepts about hospitality, because that's what I experienced a ton of this weekend. I'm just realizing the thread now. All weekend, this is kind of like the experience of hospitality weekend. So I want to talk about that for a second when we get back. So you're listening to The Counter Position. I am your host, Andrew Whaley.
Then all the color glass, the painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love decked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dull.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Redbox Media. All right, here we go, kids. The final lap, the fourth segment. So I've kind of accidentally backed into talking about hospitality. So far this weekend, I've been to two different birthday parties, just had a million beautiful conversations, ate and drank a bunch of good food and wine. And then I had a conversation with this older black gentleman about the difference in black culture and the way that they treat you with hospitality when you come over and what they mean when they say, make yourself at home. We weren't using the word hospitality, but then we talked about this a little bit, but I got to thinking about this. You know, that deep hospitality that experience in a Southern home, or you experience in a lot of times in a black home, no matter where you go, and other ethnic cultures and stuff, you'll experience the same thing. And I got to thinking about this, and you know that this, anything that is not overwhelming hospitality for a stranger and taking care of someone and wanting them to be at ease and just trying to feed someone and trying to make them at home, anything other than that is actually kind of an aberration. I got to thinking about this. So like historically, the hospitality was really considered basically a virtue. It was something that you did. And if you didn't do it, you were slighted. You felt like you'd been slighted in some way. You know, that just deep, deep hospitality, just feeding someone. And I got to thinking about this. Look at Abraham and Sarah. You know, Abraham's hanging out, doing his thing. Three travelers come up, and in the scriptures, it's a theophany. You're not sure if it's like, it's a picture of the Trinity. It might have been like angels. It might have been, you know, I mean, so you don't know. I mean, it's that older scripture is written in such a mythical kind of anthropomorphic kind of way, but they don't really tell you who these people were. But it's kind of like Melchizedek or something. It's a theophany. It's God showing up, right? So these three guys show up, and Abraham doesn't know them, and he just begs them to come in, and he just like just stay for a sec, you know, and he starts having food made and milk brought and all this stuff. And I mean, think about this in a pre-technological culture. I mean, he's going to make them something. Someone, a servant or somebody's going to have to probably go kill something. It's like, I mean, an animal is going to die so he can put something on the table. So a fire is going to have to be made or stoked or something, and bread is going to be baked. It's like, you know, it's not a small production. And he just really dives into, to taking care of these people and feeding these people. Why? You know, there's certain codes and certain rules in that society, but like, look at the Greeks, you know, they talk about, you know, if some stranger showed up and needed something, you would just take care of them. And part of that was, a little bit of a fear, from the whimsical kind of like vindictive nature of their gods. It might be a couple of gods in disguise. And if you didn't take care of them, you might just bring wrath on your family for God knows how long or whatever. But there's this idea. I mean, look at the rule of Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict, the founder of Western monasticism. Part of the rule of Saint Benedict is you treat all strangers as if they are Christ. And so when someone comes in your midst and even if you don't know them, you try to take care of them. You give them what they need. You honor them. You revere them. And I think that there's just, you know, you read stories about missionaries, and I've been reading this book, Miraculous Abundance, about permaculture farming over in France, and this experiment these people did in Normandy at this farm. But the guy that was writing it has been a long time. When he was young, traveling the world on a sailboat and meeting all kinds of different cultures and living with Aboriginal cultures and native cultures all over the place. And, some of the stories, you know, you read about in that book, and you hear this from missionaries, you hear this people who travel in third world nations. It's like you go to these places and these people might not have enough to eat. And they will just make you their last food when you walk in the door. I mean, they want to feed you. They will just, people who are poor are some of the most hospitable, generous people in the world. And they're just dying to take care of you. They're just dying to give you what you need. And, I just think that that's, anything other than that. So when you look globally now, historically, that was certainly the case. It's just like anything that isn't kind of this really open, generous hospitality is kind of an aberration from the way human society works. You know, I mean, obviously there's always been the problem with people excluding certain people. You might, you know, last weekend, the gospel was about, the Good Samaritan and the teacher of the law, the lawyer, the theologian, he's like a canon lawyer for the Jews basically at the time, he asked the question to Christ, well, who is my neighbor? That's a pretty good question in their society, because if someone's your neighbor, you have certain obligations towards them. And if you would fail in these obligations towards your neighbor, there was a problem. I mean, it was a violation of religious law. And so he's asking a question, you know, and then Christ, tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'm not going to get all into that about who the Samaritans were and why he used that and which place we're in and which place in the story and which place he's putting this lawyer in and all that. But just think about the question of who's my neighbor. So there's always been, you know, a time when there's always been a situation in society because sin is there where we don't see someone as of the same community as us, you know, or maybe in some ways there's been times when we don't see people as human, right? We don't see them as the same thing as us. We can ostracize them or demonize them or turn them into something else based on some kind of characteristic, right? But it seems like in the history of the world, in the history of human society, it seems like if people, the norm is that if you think that someone, if you view someone as like you, maybe not an equal, they might be of a higher station, they might be of a lower station economically or socially or whatever, but if you view them as the same in some sense, in that base sense, hospitality, deep hospitality is the norm. And I think it's interesting because in an age of in an age where family meals and people taking the time to really sit down and feed each other and take care of each other, that in a time when that's kind of like going by the wayside to a certain extent, it's funny, we are starting to create by art what used to happen by culture, and there's been the rise of this the rise of the restaurant as an experience and the increase in the rise in third places and stuff, which is worlds that I've taken part in. It's the professionally the world that I inhabit to a great extent. Because we want to feel, we want to have that experience of coming in someplace and having someone take care of us and feed us and care about whether we have what we need. And we're willing to pay for it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the restaurant is a very, very old concept, actually. Mark Gieschek and I did our very first episode, I think, or one of the very first episode of the Over the Counter podcast was on the history of the restaurant. And the audio was horrible. We didn't know what we were doing and we didn't even use it. We listened to it and it was such a good talk that we tried to clean it up and we put it up there. It's somewhere in one of the early episodes of Over the Counter because it was such a good conversation. But I think that, I guess I just want to point that out, that what I experienced over the weekend went through conversation and different events and going to restaurants and stuff like that. And I'm thinking back of like, you know, the kind of the overwhelming Italian hospitality that I experienced at Venice, this restaurant in Denver here not too long ago, with some beautiful donor friends of mine that took me out, and, or just, you know, all the experiences you have in this world, people crave that. And so invite people in. I guess, you know, it's like if you know someone, invite them in. If someone delivers something, feed them a little something. It's like, you know, if you start talking to someone, sit on the front porch instead of on the back deck. Read a book. Have a glass of wine. If someone stops with their dog and talks to you for a while, offer them a glass of wine. Offer them something to eat or drink. We need to get back to using the norm of human connection to create human connection, because it's what we're built for and it's what we crave, actually. So anyways, there's some early morning ramblings on hospitality for you. Let's pull the plug and pop the cork on another episode of The Counter Position. I'm your host, Andrew Whaley, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll take your place, marble stone. I'll take your place, marble stone.